Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Just A Thought Podcast. This one is really emotional. So I'm welcoming you guys to another part of my pregnancy series. So today I'm taking you with me into the delivery room, how it went. So I'm going to be sharing the raw or my raw and real birth stories. So I'm not filtering, I'm not sugarcoating. So if you want to be here for this, then you have to listen to the end because the real juice is at the end of it. So come along with me. So I'm going to be sharing how labor started. Did I fall into labor? I'm going to give you guys the gist.
Welcome to Just A Thought Podcast, a podcast where we explore big ideas, small ideas, and everything in between. I'm your host, Mure, and I'm here to help you think a little deeper about the world around you. Each week, I'll bring you conversations with interesting people, thought-provoking topics, and my own take on the latest news and trends. Whether you're looking for a new perspective on a familiar topic or a fresh way to think about something new, you'll find it here on Just A Thought. So sit back, relax, and let's get started.
I went for antenatal on January 2nd, 2025. That's this year. I went for normal antenatal, normal routine checkup and all of that. And when I entered into the doctor's office, it was just like he checked my files, like, oh, congratulations, you made it to this point with 38. And you know, he was just so happy for me. And I was happy and I was like, okay, right. And I was so excited. And, you know, it was like, we've tried, you know, just encouraged me and all of that. And then it was just like, okay, so you're not leaving the hospital today, we're going to induce you, Azazel. You guys, induction, like, how do you want to induce me? I'm not in labor, I don't feel anything, right? At that point, I was already waiting, and okay, if I'm going to see the mucus, if I'm going to see this, if I'm going to see that, I didn't see anything, my water didn't break, nothing. And the man was just like, going to induce me, and you know, he explained, like I told you guys in my previous episode, that I really had, you know, some health stuff that I was dealing with at that point. So it was like, because of those things, I had to be induced, right? And they didn't want me to go home, because a lot of women run away from induction. Like when you just hear induction, that far, they will not come back. So this is how induction is. Like, so what they explained to me as a layman, you know, language, you can go read about it. So they are just going to artificially, I don't know if I say ignite labor or start labor, right? So they are not in labor, but they are going to artificially do it, right? So they just said, okay, they are going to open the door of the womb so that, you know, the baby can start preparing for labor. And funny enough, some babies will peep. They just explained it to me, like, some babies will peep and like, and I won't bring me out. Did I say I want to come out? And some people will refuse to come out, right? So they were just like, okay, they want to first check the fatal rate of the baby, like heartbeat, sorry, the fetus, and make sure that the fetus is okay, like, is okay and not in distress and all of that. So we went, we checked, and the baby was fine and the heart rate was okay. So I came back, you know, I told my family, I told my mom, and I told my husband, and because they followed me to the hospital and they were like, ah, my mom was like, should I told you, you're going to blah blah blah. So they shared with the list of things that I had to get for the induction. So I begged them that I want to go home, that I'm not done, because I didn't really pack, like, knowing that I was going to, I still had some one or two things littered around that I wanted to put in my box. So I had to come back home. I came back home and, you know, all of the things in my head was like, God, I just hope everything goes well. That was my prayer. Like, I just hope, you know, when you're just like, God, please help me. God, help me. God, help me. I don't want to lose my life. I don't want to lose my baby. I want us to be sound and healed. That was just all my confession in my head at that point, because I was really, really anxious, to be sincere. Like, I'm feeling the same anxiety. I think it's giving me PTSD, because I'm just like, what? That period was a whole lot for me. And that was Thursday. That was Thursday. So when I was done with everything, and my husband now went, we went to get food, you know, after the anxiety, I couldn't even eat well. I was just like thinking, I was just really worried, right? Okay. Anxious. And after we were done eating, we now went to the hospital and they're like, okay, you have come earlier. You're meant to start the induction process by 6, but I came later than that. They took me to the labor ward and you know, they said they want to do the induction. Oh, Jesus. Oh my God, I don't know how I feel right now. I'm still thinking about that day and I'm just like, what? It was only God that helped me because my own strength wouldn't have been able to do it. And then I went in with the doctor and then one of the midwives, you know, carried the catheter and some of the other things. So they're meant to put that catheter, or it's not a catheter, I believe it is a collar. They should have meant to put it to the uterus to like to open it up or something like that. In the medical field, correct me. If I'm wrong. So that thing, you are weak. Are you joking? I was screaming. People say it's not painful. I have a really high pain threshold. So I was screaming. I was shouting because I was just like, what? Like, this is painful. I was just screaming, Ma, help me. Yeah, shall we finish? When we finished, I stood up. I couldn't do anything, Sha. And I went back to the prenatal ward where they put women that, you know, want to have babies or they're not yet, they haven't given birth, right? So I went there. So my husband and my mom had to go home to actually go and, you know, get some things for me, right? Because they asked them to bring some stuff for me. So they went home. They went to bring them. And when they got there, you know, they've done the induction. To be sincere, before tour, you know these government hospitals, everybody said they don't allow people to stay. Like, nobody will stay with you. Like, I needed someone to be rubbing my back because I was going through a lot at that point. And this is how the labor started, because I just remember that I was just feeling like I want to go to the toilet. I had the urge to go to the toilet. When I go to the toilet, nothing is coming out. And nothing is going on. I forgot that was actually how the labor was going to start, right? I remember standing up. I was not walking out of the ward. I was not trying to go to a nurse to, you know, tell her this outfit. You know when you're just like, you are just starting if you're not here, but pardon me. As the woman was just like, she just passed me and she said, that's what they do for you. Like, and for a period, I would get rest. When I lay down on the bed, the thing would just come from under. You know that the last word I said, because I was so tired, I've not slept. So I just said, Jesus, help me, help me, help me, help me. And as I slept off, guys, I slept off. I woke up the next morning. Okay, you're not going to wake me up. Now I freshened up that I have to go back to the labor ward. So I freshened up and I went back to the labor ward. This is when it became real. I gave it in teaching hospital. When they say teaching hospital, they really mean teaching other people. So different doctors came, a particular doctor came, you know, check how dilated you are. Like I said, it's going to be rough. So if you're not interested, you can walk up us. But if you're interested, you can sit back, relax, and enjoy my gist. So I saw something that dilated, and you see that period of for them to check how long dilated you are. That's another one that made me cry. See, I think the labor pain didn't really pain me. Like, you see that checking of the cervix. I didn't like it. I hated it so much because I'm like, why are you guys sticking your hand in my bum, mom? Like, what is it for? You guys get? So they were just checking. And I remember one of the doctors wanted to break my water and it was like, I don't know. I didn't just want them to break my water because I'm like, okay, this baby is not yet. Do you understand? They're like, okay, the baby is not really descending to the birth canal. And I'm like, you guys cannot use me as experiments. Be sure of what you are saying before, you know, you come for me and all of that. But these people are just using me to ask themselves questions. Like, okay, sir, what do you think? I'm like, what do you mean by what do you think? This is my life we're talking about here. So they tried, but the events were like, they're not gonna try. Let me tell you, people. Up to 7 doctors checked if I was dilated. So imagine, count it. They came like maybe 8 times or 9 times to check how dilated I was. It was exhausting, to be sincere. During that time, they tried to induce me, they tried the second method, an induction. You guys, I was not going, like, I was not really dilating. I was just sleeping, to be sincere. Like, they're like, why are you sleeping? One of the matron came. I was like, why are you sleeping? Why are you sleeping? You're meant to be in labor. I'm like, labor is not catching me. I'm not so much in pain. The wound that was paining me was people were coming to check me. Like, I didn't like it at all. the oxytocin really didn't really make it. I felt contractions, but they were not as bad as last night. So I just felt like, okay, I was fine. And this, my baby was moving. So they were also monitoring his heartbeat and they found that it was normal. Everything was okay, right? So until around the evening, around 6 or 7, the consultant came, checked, and she was like, what? They changed his position. So it wasn't more, it was no longer head down. It was now, how will I put it? It was, yeah, she had changed his position. So there was no way they couldn't touch his head, right? So that means I had to be booked for emergency cesarean session. Whew. You guys, I had to take that long deep breath because I didn't know that was how it was going to end. So I was just asking myself that, okay, why do you guys have to put me through all of this when you guys knew that you're going to actually make me have a cesarean session? Let me put down, like, the next room was a woman sitting to bed. And the way she was screaming, and this woman is not a first time mom, and she was screaming like that. And I was like, eh? If you've seen that video on Instagram where a woman say, I heard another woman screaming, and I ran away, that was me, because I was just like, what? Like, I was like, is that man going to be screaming? Me that can't scream. So that was it. Like, that's CS, you know. I was just like, but look at what everybody say about CS, you know. There's a stigma about around CS, like, maybe you didn't give birth. I'm like, bruh. The pain I go through was back home. You don't want to imagine it. So that was how they decided. So I called, they asked me to call my husband and explain everything to him. So I called my husband, I called everybody around me, and I told everything that, okay, this is what they're asking me to do. And I was like, it's fine. After my wife will be fine, after my wife will be fine and the baby will be fine, I have no issue with you. And I was really happy to understand, because I've heard of cases where some men refuse to sign or allow their wives to go through cesarean session just because they don't feel okay with it. Okay, so you're ready to lose your wife and your baby. Are you joking? So the gynecologist to be sincere were very nice. They were okay. You know, they not explained why they are taking that decision and all that. And I felt comfortable. I didn't really feel comfortable, not to lie. So I remember one of my husband's aunties came around and she just said some words. You know, that was like, you need good support system. And the mom was telling me of how she had her first kids and the third one had to come through Cecilia. And she was just like, okay, if that's it. And when they brought out that baby had tied himself in cord. He tied himself with his umbilical cord like 3 times. And imagine if they forced that vaginal delivery, the baby probably would have lost his life for the mother, right? So she was just like, okay, see, the baby has to come out one way or the other. So my dear, just be open to it. So that was it. They took me into the theater. So I went, they rolled me in. I know, we just finished 1 month in, and I know, so I did it. That she was just like, logo, put the doctor on the bed, we rolled out. I was like, yeah, my god. So they took me in. So the anesthesia has already come to explain everything to me and the epidural, all of that. And you know, when you watch a lot of videos, I'm someone that I've watched a lot of videos on pregnancy. So I saw the epidural and the long video. I was like, it's at my spine, they will put this thing. And how, you know, the things that they say about it, the side effects, that it has a long-term side effect. I was just like, I was really worried. So when they rolled me in, you know, they prepared me for that. They gave it to me. It worked. I became numb from my waist down. I couldn't feel anything. And they started the process. But you know, it was okay till they took off the baby out. I think that's where the whole thing started happening. Because of all the pulling and all of that, my blood level started dropping. And then I felt so nauseous. I felt like dizzy. I felt like I was losing my life. I felt like I was giving up. You get like, you know, all a lot. I was like, God, I don't want to die like this. Help me. I was just like so cautious, and you know, and all of that. Meanwhile, I think there was a medication or something they put in the drip that, you know, reacted, and you know, they had to reduce it or something like that. And I felt better. So they brought my baby to me after they cleaned him up, and they were just like, this is it. And to be fair, at that point, I was filled with joy. I was so happy. I said, yeah, you cry and all of that. And then, you know, they stitched me back and, you know, they rolled me out of the theater. I'm saying all these things, I think it's just 1 minute. It took about 30 minutes or 45 minutes for all of this process. And then they wheeled me out to a particular area where, you know, for them to monitor me and all of that after the whole stuff. And I had to call my husband. My husband came and he came straight to me and he asked me, can you check if he was at me? Let me check the first. And then we just talking. I was so drowsy. I was in pain. I started feeling pain and I called on the nurse and, you know, she gave me a dose of whatever she gave me. I think they gave me up to 2 doses before leaving the theater. So my baby was hungry because I'm not eating. They didn't allow me to eat. Let me say, the last thing I ate was when I and my husband went out to get food before I even went to the hospital. The rest was Lucozid boost. I didn't take anything. The guy was hungry. My baby was hungry. So they had to buy, you know, baby food because I couldn't lift my head to breastfeed yet. So they gave him, you know, baby formula and all of that. And that was it. And I was taken out of the theater. Now, I'm going to be talking about what happens after that. One thing I know is that you see the negligence of our health system in Nigeria is doing greater harm to us. Like, a lot of children were born normal or were born okay with no disabilities and all of that. But just because of the negligence of our, you know, health workers. It's really alarming, right? Because the gynecologists were okay and everything. But see, the pediatrics, the nurses, there were nothing to write home about, I promise you. There were nothing to write home about. Like, I think we need to talk about these things because I don't know. I don't know why they are so negligent. And it's women that are doing it. I promise you, we are the ones that are doing worse. Our own gender in the hospital. These nurses I'm talking about are all women. They moved me to the hospital. My baby went to the postnatal ward. Everything was fine and all of that. I was drowsy from that Friday to Saturday. I think I started getting myself maybe Saturday night, morning, right? And all of that. I don't want to talk about the infrastructure in the hospital because whatever you see downstairs, the antenatal, it was just a tea. Like, it was so cool. Like, that place was nice. But when we went to the postnatal ward, there was no light. There were periods where there was no light. I promise you, there were periods where there was no light. We had that corner touchlight. It was so bad. Like, and I went through the referrals of, okay, an elderly person telling me that this hospital is good. Let me tell you something, do your findings, make sure that whatever hospital, if you can afford a good private hospital, use it. Don't allow anybody to see you that federal is better. They don't have doctors, I promise you. So I was fine. I was okay, besides sitting up, but the issue was my baby. I saw him notice that his eyes were getting yellow and all of that. And I was just telling my mom, but my mom knows I'm a mother. I think I should try to, you know, water down how I felt at that point. She was just like, baby's fine. I remember that I was discharged on Monday, right? Is it whether Monday or Tuesday when my blood level was okay, you know, and she saw that my wound was healing. They said they discharged me, but they can't discharge the baby yet. I was like, how will you discharge the mother and not discharge the baby? Like, can I leave without my baby? So I picked my baby up and, you know, I was just waiting for the pediatrics, nobody to attend to us. Like, there was no pediatrics. My husband had to go and be calling them in their offices. Like, it was, like, right now, anytime I think about it, I'm always pissed. So, you know, I told you guys, I gave birth on Friday, and on Tuesday, I think, they said we have to run some tests with you. Forgotten what they call it, child. But the jaundice was actually like 10, right? So we spoke to a family doctor and I was like, 10 is okay, but they can't take chances of letting you go because they want him to be on phototherapy. So we need to put him under the light to make sure that he's very, like, he goes lower than that. And if he goes lower than that, he'll be fine. So, but yeah, where's the lights? There will be lights. Child, they brought one queer light around 2 a.m. on that Tuesday. And they brought the light. It was not the light. It was the one that fixed it. It covered him. Like, it was so bad. I really feel so sad. And I feel like crying. You know, I feel so really emotional. Because my baby was healthy and all of that. And after that, because they're meant to be running the test. After, you know, digits, they have to be running this test after every day, right? The next day, they said they want to run the test again. They took the blood sample. Behold, guys. Is this thing not, the journey is not meant to go down. It has been under the light, right? Till they take their light in the hospital, because we used to have light. The periods where we don't have light, in the afternoon, no lights. Like, it's so weird. The results came back, and I remember that day I was coming from the bedroom, and then I saw my husband, and he was like, the result. I was like, okay, I was really excited. Okay, it has reduced, you know, and he was like, I saw the result, and the rate panic high. That was the record. That was the review from the lab scientist, and I was like, what? Panic, what am I going to do? And it was just because I was like, if you call this doctor, even you decide chasing everybody, chasing them out, my parents, my mom, my mother-in-law, my husband, they chase them out. So it was only me with the baby. And this is, my baby was not responsive anymore. I will pinch my baby, he won't respond. I was trying to feed him, I was not feeding. I started screaming. I said, just, my baby is not responding. My baby is not responding. You know, these people started running out of hospital. I was like, why can't you guys put this energy in being proactive? I'm waiting for things to get out of, you know, out of hand for you guys to respond. This was Wednesday, right? So my husband went downstairs. I think he made some calls and just came up and was like, we are leaving now. Because the doctor, I told him, our family doctor, that said, we are missing this time, because if it gets so bad, the baby will have to blood transfusion, and if it gets worse, damages the brain. And I was like, what? That's how we pack our things. And they said we should sign, like, if this anything happens to the baby. I said, I'm ready to sign whatever you guys want me to sign. And my husband signed, and we left the hospital that day, and we rushed down to a private hospital. You guys, immediately we got to that private hospital, we put him on that serious phototherapy, like two lights. From that Wednesday night, it was under the light till Saturday. So we meant to do, I think the menu was Friday, but we didn't. I literally had not slept in my bed from that Thursday that I went to the hospital down to Saturday. So I came back home Saturday and did the menu that afternoon. You guys, I went through my guys, and that's why I'm like, be sure of the hospital you're using. Don't allow them say them say. And if you're not comfortable with the services, it's not a do or die affair. It's not a prison. You can pack your things and move to a better hospital. You can move to a better choice. Yeah, that's it. That's it. So, you guys, that was the big day. You know, that was the day I became a mom. It didn't go the way I planned, but it was exactly the way it was meant to be. My baby arrived saved, and that was what mattered most. So, in the final part of this series, I'll be opening up about postpartum. I think this is the real deal, right? The real challenges, you know, the real healing, and how I'm rediscovering myself with raising a little one. So, if you're interested in this, you know what to do. Come back for the next episode, and it's dropping next week Friday, and I can't wait to hear you guys' reviews. Please tell me your experiences in the hospital, or your experience, you know, with our terrible health workers in Nigeria. Also share your pregnancy journey with me. I want to know how it was for you. Maybe induction was really crazy, right? Because I've seen women run away from induction. I think it was painful. Yeah, it was really painful. It was really painful. I didn't know what real labor was, so I can't compare the two with it, right? So thank you so much for listening, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Just a Thought. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. If you did, please subscribe and leave a review. And don't forget to share. If you have any thoughts of your own, please share them with me on social media at Just a Thought Podcast on Instagram. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep thinking.